Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The eye care revolution is here. Time for the Wizard of Eyes. Here's Dr. Robert Abel Jr.
Welcome back. Let's discuss tearing, causes, treatments, anatomy, with one of the country's experts. Dr. Ari Abel is both an ophthalmologist and a plastic surgeon and is deeply involved in terms of the external and internal eye and the tear systems and tear abnormalities. So I'm so delighted to welcome him back to talk about some of the common issues that cause this very common symptom. Thanks, Ari.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Would you be kind enough to give us a brief rundown of where tears come from and where they go?
Sure, I'd love to. So first of all, there are three types of tears that are produced. We have the aqueous tears, which are produced by your lacrimal gland. The lacrimal gland is in the lateral aspect below your eyebrow. These tears are produced constantly to continue to lubricate the eye, and they're also produced for protection purposes in situations such as windy conditions. We have mucinous tears that are produced to protect the cornea, and we have lipid tears that are produced to allow the other tears to attach to the eye, so they do not just run off. The tears that are created in a lacrimal gland actually flow through lacrimal ductules into the conjunctival fornix, and then the eyelids work like windshield wipers to push them around the eye like a windshield wiper would around your windshield.
And so how do they get expressed? Where do they go normally?
So the outflow system. The tears, as I just mentioned, are pushed by the eyelids toward what we call the medial canthus, which is the nasal aspect of the eye. There are little holes in our upper and lower eyelids, which are called punctum. The tears flow into these like they would your sink drain. They flow through the eyelids through what is called the canalicular system, and then they go into the lacrimal sac, which is sort of like the storage process at the bottom of your sink. And from there, they are pushed down through the pipes into the nose themselves. There is a pump in the lacrimal apparatus, which is deep in the medial canthus, which has muscles that actually pull the tears into the lacrimal sac, where they can then flow into the nose and drain below what is called the middle turbinate.
So what happens is most people are unconscious of these things until they have a problem.
That is correct.
So a patient comes in with one eye or two eyes complaining of tearing, and it usually takes a couple months before it really starts to annoy them and they have to carry a handkerchief or Kleenex with them. How do you explore where the problem or obstruction is?
Well, what I find most commonly is that the patient has been to either their primary care physician and then on to their eye doctor, and they say, I'm tearing. The eye doctor says you have dry eyes, and they give them a bunch of samples of artificial tears and let them go on their way. So there's a number of functional or anatomic causes of this. One would be loose lower eyelids. So when you pull the lower eyelid down and it doesn't snap right back, that's once again getting back to the windshield wiper analogy. If your windshield wipers are loose and you turn on, you turn on the faucets, then they cannot be pushed around the eye. So that is one problem. How do we fix them? Well, we tighten the lower eyelids. So we actually need to create a better adherence of the eyelids to the eyeball. The next problem could be the actual punctum, or that little drain in your sink, is not directly making contact with the eyeball. So if it's turned out a little bit, those tears can't go anywhere, and then they flow over your cheek. So once again, you can tighten the actual punctum, which is a little more difficult than tightening the eyelids. The other problem we can have, you can actually have a blockage in your outflow system. The punctum, those little holes, can get plugged from either some scarring, previous infections. You can have a canalicular problem, meaning the actual piping through the eyelids can get blocked from previous infections, chemical burns, patients who've received chemotherapy. And then we can get into actual blockages inside the lacrimal duct, which is between the nose and the eyelid. And the most common cause of this is just aging and progressive bony deterioration, which causes a closure of this. And the final cause would be some type of nasal problem, prior nasal surgery, chronic sinus problems, or just normal seasonal allergies. Now, when we correct the tear duct problems, we basically go in and roto-rooter the system. You can open the punctum. You can open the nasal lacrimal duct system, and when you do that, you need to put a little stent or a drain in there leave that in for a couple months, and these procedures work very well.
Yeah, and it's very interesting because the analogy sounds very much like your gutter.
Correct.
That it may not be your downspout, it may be the angle of your gutter, or it may be that the opening to the downspout is full of leaves, and all it needs to be is dilated and irrigated. I mean, I found that about 95% of people with bilateral small punctas just dilate them and squirt them out, but obviously you get the tough ones.
Well, you're exactly correct. So when I first started, when I first started in my practice after, years of training, we were taught this is what you do to fix it. And some of these things I've learned from you through the years of spending time with you, but sometimes the easy fix is simple. So I would agree with you. The first thing I always do is put a numbing drop in, irrigate the patient. If I feel that there's not much of an obstruction, then maybe my pushing of fluid or my gentle roto-rootering lets them flow. If I feel like there's a little bit of a blockage, I often will put them on some steroid or some anti-inflammatory drops. See them back in 3 or 4 weeks, and you're exactly right. I think 85 to 90% of people will tell me I'm at least moderately better. So if you don't need to do the surgery, well, then do the simple thing and just follow them conservatively. But you're exactly right. I'm sorry, you're exactly right, because there are little nuances here that I like your gutter analogy, because if you follow the gutter from the beginning to the end and there's any blockage or a little bit of deviation or a bending of that gutter, then you can get a problem.
You know, in English, you learn that a double negative is a positive. And in tearing, that most elderly people have narrowed outflow tracts, but they also have reduced amount of tears. So it sort of works to an advantage.
In patients with dry eyes, and we know everybody's eyes are going to get drier, especially women after menopause, if those little punctum, those tiny little holes, do not stay wet from the tears, they dry up and they get closed. So dry eye leads to tearing. So it is sort of a double negative, and even someone with dry eyes can get tearing.
An article came out in the journal Ophthalmology recently that showed a mild steroid called FML is excellent for dry eye people because of the anti-inflammatory effect, but it may also, since you're indicating it, be very good for keeping the tear flow open.
Correct.
Excellent.
Which is to add one more thing in Restasis. Oops, sorry. I found Restasis can actually be helpful in certain patients because the anti-inflammatory effect of the actual Restasis drops might be able to keep a little, if you've got a little bit of plugging, it might be able to keep it opening after irrigation.
Great. Well, FML is a little cheaper. Well,
what
kind of diagnoses do you have to rule out when a person says they're tearing that maybe they're not?
I think the first thing is you need to take a good history and see if the patient ever had a Bell's palsy. And we've all sort of seen a Bell's palsy, the drooping eyelid. Any type of injury to your facial nerve, which is your seventh nerve, which is actually the stimulus to produce the tears, can cause an issue. Either A, you can have an overproduction of the tears for a simple electrical misconduction, or if you've got a little bit of a facial droop, those muscles are never going to squeeze as tightly. That's one issue. An injury to the fifth nerve, which actually supplies a sensation to the cornea. That can be an issue. And then we have to think of reasons of why is there a blockage. Very unlikely, but there could be a tumor in the lacrimal gland. There could be a tumor in the lacrimal sac or the nose. So you always need to look in the nose and always need to irrigate the system.
Excellent. How can people contact you?
Well, they can feel free to contact us at the, you can go to www.theablecenter.com, or you can reach us at our office. Would you like a phone number?
We'd love a phone number.
Area code 302-998-3220.
998-3220. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Abel, for your expertise, as always. We love the wizard's son being a wizard himself. And appreciate what you do for all of our patients. At any rate, I'm Rob Abel, the Wizard of Eyes on RadioMD.com.